Yes, welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows. You might hear a little background noise. I'm driving. I like to use Friday to do a rant or just say something that's on the top of my mind. Some of you guys who listen, you know me. You know me personally. You may be involved in some of my other business ventures. And I try to use Friday to just share mostly things that aggravate me. But today is not really about what aggravates me. It's what, I guess it kind of aggravates me now that I think about it. A lot of things aggravate me. But this is today I, and then please, none of these are recommendations. And when you hear me say a stock or a fund, I'm just sharing with you things that I do. I'm not saying you should run out and buy it. Everything is, you know, the standard warning. I mean, I don't know you. I don't know your finances. I can't give you personal financial advice. I'm just trying to share with you what I'm doing and things I've done that have helped me become a multimillionaire. And today I sold shares, not all of them. I sold about 10% of my shares in Starbucks. Now, the reason I did this, Starbucks hit an all-time lifetime high. It almost hit $70. I bought Starbucks, if I'm not mistaken, in the 40s or 30s, in the 30 or 40 range. The price was ridiculously cheap. This is a fast-growing company. I mean, they haven't even touched China. That's all a fundamental story, right, of why I like Starbucks. The price was just cheap. And so I bought some shares, and I actually bought a little, I bought some, and then usually I'm wrong and it goes the other way, and I buy a little more, and then usually I'm wrong again and it goes the other way, and eventually I try to buy a couple more than I want, and then eventually I'm right and the price goes up, I look to sell off some of that, and I take that little bit of profit and I use it to buy another one that I'm looking at. So I've always, right now I've been building a position in Hanes Brands. But one of the things that I do, this is how I do it. Now, conventional finance, Wall Street, all these people are going to tell you, you can't do this, that you're too stupid to do this, which is ridiculous. I could give you story after story after story where I'm just being a common guy, an average Joe. I'm in a store. I see some things. I pull it up on my phone. I look. I bookmark it. I go home. I start researching it. And I've told on various, I don't know if I've done it on this podcast, but on various recordings, how I made, you know, I made huge returns with the water park. My brain's slipping. The indoor water park, Great Wolf Lodge. I was there and it was a penny stock. I don't trade penny stocks, but here I am at Great Wolf Lodge and the money that was flowing around me was just insane. They gave you an armband and you could just buy freely. And so people were staying 2 or 3 days at this water park. It's an indoor water park. So you're staying in a hotel. And if I wanted a beer, I just walked up to a guy and showed him my hand and boom, he handed me a beer. There was no money exchange. And then when we went to leave the hotel, they gave me a bill and it was like $2,000. So, cause my kid had a brace too. Want to play video games? Just show the thing. A bunch of quarters comes out. And so we had a great time. And I'm looking around at all these families and I go and look and it's a $2 stock. I'm like, huh. I was like, shit, I should buy a couple hundred shares just so I keep my eye on it. And so that's what I did, you know. And then later I start researching this. And once you buy a few, you start getting all the news. And I kind of dig into it. And, you know, it's a hobby. Like some guys watch football. I'm watching stock. I'm not betting the farm. I'm just putting enough money into this to make it interesting. And so I end up buying about $2,000 worth of this stock, $2,000-$3,000 worth. Long story short, they take it private, and the people who took it private because a hedge fund wanted to buy it and take it private, so they own the whole business, and they gave all the shareholders $11 and some change. And so I turned $2 into $11. In other words, so say $3,000 in shares, see what I'm saying, becomes a whole lot more money. Becomes like $33,000. So a vacation turned into a new car for me. Think about that. Did I have to be some sophisticated hedge fund manager to be observant of the money flow going on around me? No. So you hear me talk about this, observe the money flow. So if you walk into a store and it's packed, ask yourself, why? What's going on? Now, sometimes it's packed because they're going out of business and they're doing a going out of business sale. That's not obviously something you would invest in, right? And not everything's investable, but it does, just being in the money flow, being conscious of it going on around you, I think you can do well. I did the same thing in 2015. Oil prices, they went from $100 to $30. Now, I live in Texas. It's an oil state. Some of my renters work for oil companies, so I have a little bit of an inside track on it, but I wouldn't call that really an inside track. What do the oil companies do? They're smart. They start laying off employees. They're trying to protect the company, protect the shareholders. Yeah, share prices go down. I'm not going to invest in some speculative drilling company. I was watching them go out of business. But those companies can start back up tomorrow. So it's no big deal for them to shut them down and start back up. The ones that are not going to shut down, Exxon, Chevron, Conoco, Valero. I mean, do you need to be a rocket scientist to realize you could just go and buy the best company? And so guess what? Oil stocks had cut in half. You don't need a guy from Wall Street to tell you when a high quality trophy company, the richest families in America own shares in Exxon, right? The richest families in America own shares of Chevron. You know, really rich people own shares in this company and it pays dividends. So when the price cuts in half, oil's now at 30. Why would I know as an average guy, just a normal guy from Huntsville, Texas, what makes me think that oil's not going to stay at 30? Well, one, I'm 50 years old. I've lived through this three times now. But besides just that, I blew a bit of research. I could figure out the basic cost it costs to pump oil out of the ground. At $30, people are going to stop pumping. A lot of wells are going to turn off. They're going to let crews down. And what happens when they stop digging? The price comes up. It's in a commodity. So whenever you can buy the commodity cheaper on the open market, I could buy a barrel of oil cheaper than I could go drill it out of the ground. That tells you there's an imbalance. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to try to get this exactly right. You just have to have patience. You as an individual person, as an individual investor, could just put $1,000 on that little bet that you sat at night in bed, reading, thinking over a few weeks, a few months, observing, watching the money flow of the world. And then you go, I think I'm gonna throw a couple $1,000 at this. And if you're wrong, you own a couple $1,000 of Exxon. You'll get it back over time, right? It's not that big a damn deal. And so I began to do these. And as I made more money and as life, I would do these bigger. So instead of being 2,000, I now would push 5,000, 10,000. See what I'm saying? I've done it in AT&T. I've done it in, just now, I did it in Starbucks. Now I'm doing it in Hanes Brands. Why? Hanes Brands is under pressure. They have some problems. I did it in Walmart when Amazon was crushing all the retailers and every retailer in the world was going to go out of business. I did it with them. I did it with McDonald's when all the millennials were never going to eat at McDonald's. Everything goes extreme. That's what you have to understand. The sell-offs go to extreme. And so you need to understand how, if you want to be an investor, you know there's simple indicators that'll tell you, hey, these prices are extreme. And so you could look at it and go, yeah, much like you're driving down the road and you see a yellow light, you know, hey, it's about to turn red. I need to stop. Well, there are simple indicators in the stock market that will tell you these things. Now, you don't have to know all of them, just a couple of them. I just follow a couple. And when I see that, I'm not trying to get the exact day. I don't need the exact bottom. I don't even need the exact top. I just need roundabout. And when you, it's like hand grenades. I don't have to put it on top of the guy, just near the guy, right? It's like throwing hand grenades. Picking stocks is a lot like throwing hand grenades. You just need to get it pretty close in the right area. That's it, man. That's all I've done. Now, here's the beautiful thing. If you're a lot of real estate guys hate stocks. A lot of stock people hate real estate. It's a dumb argument. They're different asset classes. They provide different values at different times. You should be in the money flow. There may be a time to buy bonds. There may be a time to buy gold. There could be a time to buy oil. Now, about commodities, real quick, oil, gold, these kind of things, don't buy the actual commodity. Don't buy gold. Buy gold mining stocks. Don't buy oil. Buy oil companies, big ones, because they're a proxy to the commodity and they're leveraged and they pay they go up more. So if oil goes up 10%, an oil stock will go up 20-25%. They're leveraged to the commodity, meaning they have people, money, they're, you know, they borrow money to build wells. They're leveraged into it, much like, say, you could pay cash for one rent house, or you could take the $150,000 you just paid cash on, and you could break that up into $25,000 lots. And instead of paying $150,000 on one house, you go and pay $25,000 down on six houses. And now your portfolio is six houses. And over time, you're going to make a lot more money because you're leveraged, right? That brings on risk. But with these companies, you have people with MBAs from Wharton, people who went to Harvard, people who went to Yale. Now, I get it. That doesn't mean they're invulnerable, but it does mean they understand business better than me and you. So I'm investing in America. I'm investing in really smart guys who go to work every day trying to make money. And me and you, we get an advantage. We have an advantage over a hedge fund. Like, you have an advantage. You can just buy $100. You can just buy $100 or $1,000 or $10. You don't have any rules or regulations or restrictions. But people will put in your head, you can't play this game. You're too stupid. You're the consumer. You know, before when these analysts analyze, they're analyzing your behavior. So I knew about Great Wolf Lodge, but, you know, obviously some hedge fund was out there researching it as well. And so I had the same thought he did, and oil. And obviously, I'm not the only guy who sits around doing this. Here, one of my biggest scores ever, BP oil spill. I'm in Texas. This is big news in my area. The beach is fucked. There's water, oil everywhere. So, excuse my French, what do I do? I know you got to let this thing settle out. They don't bring out all the bad news in one day. How do I know that? I've been doing it for 20 years. So it gets crushed. The stock's down like 20%. I'm going to buy a little bit. Not a lot. Maybe 10 shares. You say 10 shares, that ain't worth it. I know, but it keeps it on my news radar. I don't forget to look when I log into my account. I see it firsthand, and I'm getting just negative news. And it goes down a little more. I buy 10 more. It goes down a little bit more. I take some profits in another stock that's done really well. I push it off into BP. And I just, over time, over a few months, I accumulate me a nice position. And then when I think this thing has all the bad news that could possibly be out, it's just bad. All my indicators are showing extreme. Now I back up the horse, you know, the truck. And instead of buying 10 shares, I'm buying 50. I'm buying 75, I'm buying 100, I'm buying thousands of dollars worth, I'm buying 2,000, 3,000, right? Till I get my $10,000 position. And guess what I did? About a year and a half later, I sold them for about the equivalent of a brand new car. Did I have to be a hedge fund manager to do that? No, I'm just in the money flow, man. But the assets I'm doing this with, they're not penny stocks. Now that one was, but generally these are big, massive conglomerate companies, you know? I wouldn't touch a Sears because Sears doesn't pay a dividend. The ones I'm looking for are the guys that make so much money, they pay their shareholders. These are the guys that make money. Now, if they don't pay a dividend, I don't trade them. I don't invest in them because what I'm trying to accumulate in my life is my passive income doubles my active income. I make more passively than I make working. Boom. That's what I'm trying to do. Why? Because I'm trying to get rich. And this is about the science of getting rich. And if you want to get rich, you got to do what rich people do. Rich people invest their money. Rich people don't follow the crowd. So when everyone else is panicking, you should be looking at buying. When everyone else is euphoric, you should be looking at selling. Which is why I sold Starbucks today. Hit an all-time high. Now there's going to be new people looking at it. That's fine. I got my profit out. The rest of the shares, I'm going to hold them for the rest of my life, or until Starbucks stops paying a dividend. So I made my money. And now, for the rest of my life, every 3 months, Starbucks is going to send me 50, 60, 70. Over time, it's just going to grow. And I'm just going to get money every month, every quarter, for the rest of my life. I made my $2,000 in profit that I sold the shares. And now I'm going to take that. And I'm going to invest that in another large company that pays dividends, that is undervalued, that's been doing bad because they're under competition. They have a lot of problems. But I believe after reading and looking at who runs the company and just making a logical, common sense guess, based on their debt load, based on their product they produce, where they sell their product, I think they're going to be just fine. They just need to bring in some new talent and a little bit better marketing. They got plenty of money. So I would invest in that. See? And so that's called the money flow. And it makes it fun, man. It makes it exciting. It's way better than football to watch your stocks. You know, I never watched football and followed that where all of a sudden I got $3,000, right? So anyway, that's my Friday rant. Don't let Wall Street, the government, and other people tell you you're too stupid to do this. It is super simple. You don't need a portfolio manager. You don't need an accountant. You don't need lawyer. You don't need any of that crap. Just you, your phone, some reading, some money, and some common sense. Peace.